Welcome to another edition of Raising Sand Radio, opening today with a short clip recorded at an Earth Day event called Welcome to Ohlone Territory. More about that later in the show. Today we talk to John Mayer and John Stauber of Organic Consumers Association about toxic sludge. We also review the passage of the World Bank loan to South Africa and share a view from that country. South Africa's Bayview Hunters Point Eco Center opened at Heron's Head Park on Sunday, celebrated as Earth Day in many cities across the United States. This is San Francisco's first 100% off-grid building, modeling solar power and alternative wastewater technologies. Nearly every feature of this 1,500-square-foot facility is innovative and educates the public about renewable energy, pollution and greenhouse gas reduction, wastewater treatment, green building materials, and the green economy. Raising Sand Radio will do an in-depth show on the Eco Center in the near future. Meanwhile, go to our website, Raising Sand Radio, to find a link to the Eco Center to learn more. Also this weekend was a deeply touching multi-day ceremony called Welcome to Ohlone Territory, also held at Heron's Head Park. Welcome to Ohlone Territory follows last November's Indigenous Renewal event at Coy Tower. Both aim to raise awareness about the Ohlone presence in San Francisco. For few who live in the San Francisco region know that more than 10,000 people from at least 9 Ohlone tribes once flourished here, or that they are applying for tribal recognition, or that the largest living Ohlone tribe, with 2,000 members, migrated from Mission Dolores in 1834 and now lives in Pomona, California. This tribe, the Rumson, supports a thriving Ohlone cultural life, including a song and dance group and weekly sweat lodge healing ceremonies. Very few public schools teach much, if anything, these days about the history of the Bay's original inhabitants, nor do they mention that descendants of these people continue to live, go to school, hold down jobs, and celebrate their heritage in many local communities, or why this history is ignored. Raising Sand Radio will do an in-depth show on and with Ohlone in the near future. Meantime, go to our website, raisingsandradio.org, to listen to a show we aired in December with Beverly Ortiz about the Ohlone people. On April 8th, the World Bank went ahead with a multi-billion-dollar loan to South Africa's Parastatal Electricity Supply Commission, or ESCOM. This is of great concern to those of us who see these dollars exacerbating the fossil fuel problem around the world. Environmentalist Bobby Peake is director of Groundwork, and in a recent article titled ESCOM Loan Blackens the World Bank's Name, he writes, "The World Bank, Business Unity South Africa, and the African National Congress, the ANC, got their way with a major loan for ESCOM, the National Power Authority, despite broad-based opposition from local people, the poor, community organizations, churches, unions, and environmental and social justice NGOs locally and globally. Why was business in bed with the ANC on this? It is because the likes of mining company BHP Billiton received more than 5% of South Africans' electricity at below cost through apartheid-era special pricing agreements. The governments of Norway, Italy, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, and the United States also did not vote in favor of this loan, but still the World Bank loan prevailed, which shows that it has no regard for the state of the world's climate and environment, the future of South Africa, and the economic principles of transparency and corruption. While the project was pitched as addressing poverty reduction, the reality is that it was seen through the eyes of the market and increasing economic production. However, 20% of South Africa's population is still not on the grid, which is not addressed by the loan. Already more than 10 million people have been cut off from electricity because they can't afford it. These people and others will suffer the same fate when prices escalate as a result of this loan." The World Bank granting this loan was not unexpected, but challenging the bank and the government was a critical first step to developing a base of mobilization in South Africa and globally to start questioning the hypocrisy and public spin of the South African government and big business in relation to energy. It was also vital to start supporting the local resistance in the Waterberg area, which is the area that the Medupi plant will be in, and is intended to be South Africa's new sacrifice zone for big business. In other words, heavily polluted with the nod of government. Local people are already concerned about illegal sand mining for Medupi's coal plant development, which is already altering watercourses. Multinational companies are opening mines adjacent to farms. Acid mine drainage, which contaminates groundwater by exposing it to the mine materials, is the bleak future in this water-scarce part of South Africa. There is an environmental justice crisis of national proportion already in South Africa, and water for these developments is going to be taken from South Africa's three major rivers. The impact of these developments will be felt by people thousands of kilometers from the Waterberg. Air pollution standards on sulfur dioxide and particulate matter have already been exceeded in the neighborhoods adjacent to Eskom's present coal-fired power station. Mercury pollution from coal burning is given scant regard, as there is no mercury abatement equipment in existing Eskom plants. This is even before this new plant called Medupi. So the World Bank will increase South Africa's carbon intensity. Eskom is now on the path to tripling its carbon dioxide emissions in the next 8 years. The World Bank could not save South Africa from poverty in the 70s and 80s, and it will most certainly not save the world from climate change in the second decade of the 21st century. We have a local and global struggle on our hands, and the base is being built now. There's an article by Bobby Peake of Groundwork in South Africa, an environmental group in South Africa. And this is Susan Gallimore with Raising Sand Radio, where we air progressive topics that affect you and your community. Visit our website, raisingsandradio.org, to download any of our shows. And you can also find a PayPal donation button there if you have the urge to contribute to our work. Or if you have the urge to read my book, Long Time Passing, Mothers Speak About War and Terror, where I share the firsthand stories of families in Iraq, Syria, Palestine, Israel, Afghanistan, Lebanon, and the U.S. An author-autographed hardcover edition of this book is available to you as a premium with a donation of $50 to Raising Sand Radio and our parent organization, Mother Speak. Go to the website raisingsandradio.org to order and to help us air progressive ideas and themes like this week's shows. Our listeners come from all over the world, as you know, if you listen in from a land far from the United States, say Norway or Armenia or South Africa or Russia or West Bank or Australia or Canada or France, many other countries. Moreover, Raising Sand Radio is a labor of love and concern for people over profit, but today's dire circumstances are also a matter of survival. If you can't donate financially, donate time or just let us know that our work is appreciated. Again, susan@raisingsandradio.org or go to raisingsandradio.org where you'll find a PayPal button. We are fiscally sponsored by the Peace Development Fund and all donations are tax deductible. Again, my email is susan@raisingsandradio.org.
I can compost anything in my marvelous compost bin. It sits behind the garden shed, always waiting to be fed. Plastic ones from B&Q can't do what my bin can do. Cabbages and cauliflowers are rendered in a matter of hours. The next door neighbor's bowling shoe took a day or maybe two. I can compost anything in my marvelous compost bin. Oh, he can compost anything in his marvelous compost bin. Grandad brought it home for me from a journey overseas. When Grandad died from drinking gin, we put him in my compost bin.
In continuing recognition of Earth Month, with Earth Day officially April 22nd, we talk today with Organic Consumer Association San Francisco Bay Area organizer John Mayer in the studio and OCA advisory board member John Stauber on the phone from Wisconsin. John Stauber is the author of the 1995 book Toxic Sludge is Good for You. And today we'll learn about toxics in food and consequently in sewage and how sludge ended up on the steps of San Francisco City Hall last month. We'll also recognize what organic foods are and what they are not, as well as what compost is and what it is not. Before we go to John and John on the phone, let me tell you that the Organic Consumers Association was formed in 1998 in the wake of the mass backlash by organic consumers against the U.S. Department of Agriculture's controversial proposed national regulations for organic food. Today, it is the only public interest organization in the United States campaigning for health, justice and sustainability, and focus exclusively on promoting the views and interests of the nation's estimated 50 million organic and socially responsible consumers. Welcome, John in Wisconsin and John in San Francisco.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, we've taken on a big project today, and I think I'm going to turn to John Stauber to talk first about what brought you to write your book, Toxic Sludge is Good for You.
Well, sorry for laughing, Susan, but it's a great question, and actually the book Toxic Sludge is Good for You, which is subtitled Lies, Damn Lies in the Public Relations Industry, is a book about PR scams and the way corporations and governments use the public relations industry and spin experts to fool the public and shape public opinion. And when I was writing the book in 1994, my publisher said, look, no one wants to read a book about the public relations industry. You've got to come up with some snappy title. And I was inspired by a Tom Tomorrow cartoon and came up with this title, Toxic Sludge is Good for You. And then immediately I thought, well, gee, wouldn't it be great if there really was some devious public relations campaign trying to convince the public that toxic sludge is good for us. I was still writing the book in the spring of 1995, finishing it up, when I received a call from a woman by the name of Nancy Blatt with an organization called the Water Environment Federation. I'd never heard of them before, but Nancy said, look, we've seen some advertising for your book coming out in the fall, and we're very concerned. Because we don't call it sludge anymore, and it's no longer toxic. It's now a natural organic compost. We call it biosolids, and we're afraid your book title is going to scare farmers away. We're working with the Environmental Protection Agency and with a major public relations firm to give biosolids away free to farmers, and your book title may scare them. And I thought, wow, there is a story here. And the story turned out to be this. The Water Environment Federation, which sounds like something founded by Jacques Cousteau, is actually the sewage sludge industry. It's a massive multi-hundred-billion-dollar industry. Every municipality has a sewage plant. And while we've always thought of sewage treatment plants as these wonderful ways of cleaning up water, all the toxins from industry in our homes, the medical waste, everything that's flushed down our toilets goes in water to sewage treatment plants where they do some magic and clean up the water. What they really do is they pull as much of the toxic material and pathogens as they can out of the water and move it into sewage sludge and create mountains of sewage sludge. And going all the way back 30 years, the Environmental Protection Agency had a real problem. All the sewage plants had a real problem. Where to put the toxic sewage sludge? They decided it was too toxic to incinerate, to landfill, or dump in the oceans. And then they hit on the idea, why don't we rename this stuff? We'll call it biosolids. It's got nitrogen in it. And we'll just begin giving it away to farmers and spreading it on farmland. This is a great big country, a great big continent. There's a lot of land to spread this stuff on. Let's do that. So in choosing a title for my book, Toxic Sludge is Good for You, a book about sleazy and deceptive PR campaigns, I really stumbled on this massive hidden PR campaign that renamed sewage sludge biosolids, and with the support of the Federal Environmental Protection Agency, was just spreading it out of sight, out of mind on farmland. Today, it's 15 years later. I wrote the book, and it was published in 1995. And today, about half of all the toxic sewage sludge in the United States is spread on farmlands and gardens. That's the history to this, and it's important to note that major environmental groups like the Environmental Defense Fund and the Natural Resources Defense Council, were so enthusiastic about building sewage plants and cleaning up the water that they took a dive on this issue. They stayed away from it, and they have not gotten involved in the fight to stop the spreading of this hazardous material, toxic sewage sludge, onto farms and gardens. And I'm very excited that the Organic Consumers Association, on whose advisory board I sit, has decided it's time to really take up this fight, because it's a huge national issue.
Well, let's talk with John Meyer about what the OCA is and does. It's a national organization.
Yes, and it advocates for, as the title would imply, you know, all things organic, all matters organic, organic farming, the protection of organic food products, making sure that they're what they say they are, organic. And then, of course, that perspective in regard to the environment extends beyond the things people would immediately associate, which would be food and farming, into pesticides or fair trade practices and justice issues and things like that. But certainly the way that OCA has a nexus with this issue is because the City of San Francisco, the SFPUC, the Public Utilities Commission, created this giveaway program of what they falsely called organic biosolids compost. And obviously the people that were receiving that were, if they didn't consider themselves organic farmers or gardeners, but I'm sure a lot of them, if not most of them, did, they took that material. It was given away free, which is quite a boon, because it's typically quite expensive to get on your own. And they put that in and grew food on it, or put it in their yard. And so that is certainly an issue that Organic Consumers Association finds to be right at the heart of their mission.
I do want to just clarify before we go on, is last week we aired a show with a Recology, the San Francisco compost and recycling company, and we're not talking about the same company here. We're talking about two different events.
That's a fantastic point, because the difference between what Recology does and what the SFPUC and Sinagro do, it couldn't be greater, more stark. In the course of doing the organizing for this OCA campaign, I myself spoke with Robert Reed, and then very briefly with Bob Schaefer. And Reed explained to me what he explained to you on your program, which I did listen to, which is that their compost is real. I mean, it's real in that it's green, and perfectly good and valuable. And that's demonstrated by the fact that they sell it to 200 wineries or more, and it's highly prized. And they also actually, it wasn't addressed on your program, but Mr. Reed told me about it. They used to have, Recology had their own giveaway program, which I believe happened in 2007 and 8, and hasn't happened since, and I don't know why that's the case, but they had free giveaways of real, green, healthy, organic compost. Mm. And he told me, the number he told me was that the last giveaway they had was 4,000 people in 2 hours till they ran out. And so, enough about that. The Sinagro SFPUC giveaway is almost, you know, you could say precisely the opposite. It's sewage sludge one-third, and then two-thirds something like wood chips. Mm. But that doesn't change the fact that its essential component is sewage sludge. And then they labeled that organic biosolids compost and gave it away, and no doubt in many gardeners' minds in San Francisco, they thought this probably equated to what Recology was doing. Mm-hmm. And they were very eager to get it, and the program, the giveaway, was a tremendous success. Tons of people lining up for it. In fact, not just coming and getting bags full of it like you would at a home improvement store, but bringing up pickup trucks and literally filling up the entire back of the pickup truck. And so it was highly successful. A lot of people got the stuff, and critically, they believed that it was organic, and that was not true.
And John Stauber in Wisconsin, this is exactly what your book addresses. How do people know when they're getting real compost, healthy compost, and when they're getting toxic sludge?
Well, you can be sure that if the City of San Francisco Public Utilities Commission had been advertising sewage sludge for your garden, the number of people coming to pick it up would have been extremely small. And while the PUC says, oh, we didn't mean to use the word organic to deceive people into identifying this with organic food, I don't believe them. I think that indeed they were calling this organic biosolids compost because they purposely wanted to trick people into taking this and hauling it away. That was the whole reason why, way back in the early 90s, the sewage sludge industry held a contest to decide what to rename sewage sludge. They found that if they said to farmers, hey, why don't you come get some of this sewage sludge and dump it on your farmland, there wasn't much interest. They actually held a contest, and biosolids was the name chosen out of this contest within the sewage sludge industry. And that's exactly the sort of fraudulent deception that the City of San Francisco's Public Utilities Commission has engaged in since 2007 by telling urban gardeners in San Francisco that this is organic biosolids compost. This is taking the entire scam to new heights because they're trading fraudulently on the word organic. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're going to see shaping up in the months ahead is a real fight to make sure that the sewage sludge industry can't use that word organic to push its toxic sludge, because what's happened, of course, over the last 15 years is the tremendous growth of certified organic food. And in the mind of the public, organic represents the highest standard of integrity and purity and healthfulness in food. And when the sewage sludge industry takes that word and puts it on their toxic sludge, it's because they're purposely fooling the public.
This word organic is now under dispute too, precisely for what you're saying here.
Well, that's exactly right. Ever since the national organic standards were set by USDA, of course, there has been a very legal definition for what constitutes organic food. And it's extremely important that the organic and sustainable community, producers, consumers, companies marketing organic, uphold the highest level of standards for organic to allow sewage sludge to be labeled organic is not only deceiving people into taking this toxic material and contaminating their own farms and gardens with it, it's also contaminating and destroying the very meaning of organic. And this fight alone is extremely important. Let me just make one other point. You know, some people might say, well, organic, that's sort of a niche market in agriculture. Why would the Organic Consumers Association be concerned about the fact that half the nation's sewage sludge is pushed out onto farmlands and gardens when most of those farms are not, strictly speaking, organic farms? Here's one reason why that's so important. About a year ago, Michelle Obama started an organic garden at the White House, and testing of the garden soil found an elevated level of lead, and steps have been taken to reduce that level of lead. But we know that sewage sludge, so-called biosolids, sewage sludge, has been put onto the White House grounds by previous administrations. And once you're dumping toxic sewage sludge, which contains potentially thousands of hazardous synthetic chemicals, not to mention the viruses and fungi and bacteria and pathogens that can be in it, once you contaminate land with the toxic sewage sludge, if then somebody like Michelle Obama comes along and decides, you know, I want to produce an organic garden here, that land has been contaminated. We have to stop using any farmland, any gardens, as a depository for toxic sewage sludge and hazardous waste.
Let me remind our listeners, we're talking to John Stauber in Wisconsin and John Mayer in San Francisco, both from the Organic Consumers Association. And John, in Wisconsin, last week, as I mentioned, we talked with Bob Schaefer and Robert Reed, both composters in the San Francisco area. And one of the things that Bob Schaefer said that really shocked me was 1% of the planet is actually arable. So when we're throwing biosolids onto arable land, we're actually reducing our fertile arable land.
This really is an outrage, and one reason it's come about, as I mentioned earlier, is that the big environmental groups essentially took a dive on this decades ago. They cut a deal. They were so focused on the Clean Water Act, and then they were so focused on stopping the dumping of toxic sewage sludge into the oceans, that they allowed the Environmental Protection Agency to pull them into accepting the dumping of toxic sewage sludge onto farmland and gardens. And a lot of people are fooled by this. It's been amazing to me how many friends of mine in the San Francisco environmental community have sort of drunk the biosolids Kool-Aid, and they'll say, well, gee, this is just nutrient recycling. You know, you're taking this sewage and putting it back on farmland. That's a good thing. Well, you know, if this were composted human manure, that would be true. But it's what comes out of the households, what's flushed down the toilets, the industrial waste that goes into the drains. This is not what's called humanure. This is toxic sewage sludge, and it is not nutrient recycling. It is very improper disposal of hazardous waste out of sight, out of mind. And imagine this. If you're the city of San Francisco and you can take your dioxin-contaminated sewage sludge, and San Francisco's own testing has found dioxins in their sewage sludge, if you can take that and give it away to the public by the bucketful or the bagful, you don't even have any idea where it's going. There's no traceability there. You save money. You don't have to hire somebody to truck this somewhere. This bagging up toxic sewage sludge contaminated with dioxins and potentially thousands of other synthetic chemicals and pathogens, bagging it up and watching somebody haul it away in the trunk of the car to dump on their garden is just an outrage.
If I could add, in regard to your point of the reduction of arable land, I mean, that is obviously the case if it's going on to farmland. Mm-hmm. But it's worth noting, too, that if it's being given away, especially under false pretenses, to people in their homes and gardens, it means it's reducing not just the farm arable land, but the land that people live on every day and they have in their front yard. So it's pretty much pervasive altogether.
Well, John Mayer, let's talk now about, you're the campaign manager in the San Francisco Bay Area. How did you find out about this and then mobilize so quickly?
One of our advisors stumbled upon the fact, I think, of this giveaway program, and it created a tremendous opportunity. And the central point of it, obviously, was that they were calling it organic. Certainly, we're discussing the larger issues that are also in play. But the issue here was that they called it organic biosolids compost, which was actually contrary to USDA regulations. And again, as John addressed, the SFPUC eventually, once that was presented to them, they fairly quickly backed off from that and said, we'll no longer do that. It was inadvertent that we did it to begin with, and in what we consider to be a sort of, you know, inadequate explanation, they said that they had meant organic in the larger sense scientifically, in as much as it contained carbon. But of course, when you're giving away organic biosolids compost in sort of the marketplace, even if you're just giving it away, that term is not understood by lay people putting it in their garden to suggest that it's a scientific term. It means organic in regard to growing food. So with that understanding, a petition was filed in September of last year by the Center for Food Safety asking for the cessation of this program and delineating the reasons why it was bad, not only because it was full of toxic sludge, but also because of its improper use of the term organic. And subsequently, the CFS was invited to the SFPUC's advisory board committee, where they presented a memo and further evidence about why the program should be stopped. And instead of stopping the program, the PUC said that they were not only going to continue it, but they were going to increase it tenfold. Mm. And that fact was reported in The Atlantic on December 1st of last year. So OCA then stepped in as an organizing organization that could do grassroots, actions, and such as we did on March 4th, was brought in to do that. And it happened so quickly because we felt that the giveaway was so outrageous and so hazardous that we needed to get it happening quickly and move to a conclusion quickly. So really just throughout the course of February, I contacted numerous Bay Area environmental and farming groups and so forth, and we got them on board, and by March 4th we did our rally. And it so happened that on March 4th the PUC announced that they were indefinitely suspending the program, although they said that it had nothing to do with our campaign.
So let me remind listeners here, we're talking with John Mayer and John Stauber of Organic Consumers Association, and the website for that is organicconsumers.org. And go there and you can see the video. It's actually very well done, the hazmat suits. And how did Mayor Newsom respond?
Mayor Newsom responded on March 4th that day, and that rally was a great success. And the story you're referring to, people can certainly find it on our website. That was by Anna Werner from Channel 5 here in San Francisco, and it is quite a good report. Mayor Newsom responded that day by saying that the compost was safe and healthy, and he would be happy to eat food grown in it. So he essentially is in perfect lockstep with what the SFP's press is on this, if not propaganda.
Well, that's unfortunate because he's lost a lot of credibility in that case, because he was one of those pushing for recyclables in San Francisco, recycling waste.
Yes, certainly, and that, again, presented a great opportunity because we don't discount the great strides that San Francisco has made and what a green city it is and how Mayor Newsom has played a central role in all that. But it certainly, again, it presented a horrible contradiction that there could be all these other great programs, and right in the midst of it, there could be something which was at the behest, in some part at least, of Sinagro to publicize and greenwash the sewage sludge as organic biosolids. And it's been, to say the least, a disappointment to us that he hasn't responded in the fashion we think is proper, which is to say, do not grow food in toxic sewage sludge, and certainly don't mislabel it when you're giving it out to people for free.
And is there pressure for him to do that?
Well, there's certainly pressure from us and from our several hundred thousand members and the 5,000.
So there's pressure.
There's pressure, and 5,000 people signed the petition online, the letter to him, and the pressure is most certainly continuing.
I want to loop back to what John Stauber said about the other environmental organizations not being focused on this enough at the time. Does that continue?
Yes, it really has continued. I'm not aware of a single national environmental organization that is taking the stand that the Organic Consumers Association is taking, that no food should be grown in toxic sewage sludge. Unfortunately, these organizations are ignoring this critically important issue. And as I say, over the last couple of decades, since this has been accelerating, it's gotten to the point where today half of the massive mountains, I should say, of sewage sludge produced by every single municipality with a sewage plant, half of that hazardous material is pushed onto, spread onto farms and gardens. So this is just a gigantic environmental issue that all the major green groups are ducking. And we don't kid ourselves at the Organic Consumers Association as to the job we have in the months and years ahead, really creating a national fight on this issue that can stop the spreading of hazardous material on farms and gardens. And in some ways, it's wonderful that the city of San Francisco, the green mayor, Gavin Newsom, the Public Utilities Commission, has been caught fooling the urban gardeners of San Francisco into taking toxic sludge and putting it on their garden. I don't mean to say it's wonderful that hundreds of gardeners have been fooled into contaminating their own gardens with toxic sludge. I mean, it's fortunate that San Francisco has gotten national attention since OCA began its protest. The mayor and the PUC were immediately forced to suspend the program, and now the OCA is organizing to put a permanent halt to this program and to force a cleanup. And the fact that this is going on in San Francisco, and this is my real point, has resulted in major articles in the London Guardian and in articles with great photos of the March 4th protest at City Hall in the Los Angeles Times, the Boston Globe, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the KCBS piece on March 3rd there in San Francisco is just fantastic. So there are many victims of sludge dumping, people and farm animals who've been injured or killed out in the sticks in rural Missouri, rural New England, Pennsylvania. That doesn't get much attention, but when the green mayor of San Francisco is caught foisting toxic sewage sludge onto the city's gardeners, that gets attention.
And, you know, if I could jump in, I want to emphasize what John just mentioned, that again, from especially from what I'm doing here in San Francisco from an organizing perspective, the next step for OCA, and one of the ways that we're going to continue to apply pressure and to seek to give people help, is that OCA is going to support any gardeners who received this and contaminated their gardens with it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to help support them in asking the city and the SFPUC to clean up their gardens. Mm-hmm. Because it's a pretty cut and dried case where people took it as organic. It's not organic. They've admitted it's not organic, but people put it into their gardens. And I know that I spoke with some people when I was organizing the gardeners, and then again at the rally at City Hall, there were a couple of people there. When Ronnie Cummins was speaking, spoke up and said, "What do I do about it? How do I get it out of my garden? I have it in my garden. I have it in my potted plants." And I spoke with them, and I think that was a really good indication that there's a great degree among these gardeners that they're angry about what happened and they want some redress. So we're going to seek to support them in that effort.
Well, we're going to follow that story too. What I'm thinking is, man, we on this planet have a huge problem, and it's called waste, and there's all kinds of waste piling up, and now they're trying to foist it on us, and you're right, it's the underhanded way in which it's done. We're not really facing the issue, which is we can't really continue dumping and producing and throwing away in the way that we do. So what solutions are you suggesting?
Let me tackle that first. This is John Stauber. When I wrote Toxic Sludge is Good for You and really broke this issue back in 1995, I had to ask that. And what's really evident once you look at this is that the whole idea of sewage and sewage treatment plants is a technology that is archaic, and we can't continue to take our clean water and contaminate it with our household waste, our industrial waste, our medical waste, everything that's washed off the streets, send it to a plant that then pulls that hazardous material into sludge and then push that sludge onto our farmlands. We really have to realize that we have spent hundreds of billions, with a B, of tax dollars doing this and simply moving the waste around rather than ending its production and taking the so-called humanure and composting that properly. This is going to require some major rethinking, and I don't know of a single research facility or university or company that has really been able to tackle this on the scale it deserves. But we're talking about public monies, and we're going to spend hundreds of billions of dollars more in the decades ahead on this issue of sewage. So we can either figure out how to separate out the human waste that can be safely composted, how to minimize and end the productions of the hazardous material, and how to stop putting it into our water. Once it's in the water, you've got an entropic nightmare on your hands. You can't suddenly begin to clean that up. The key is in realizing that the sewer system is something out of the Middle Ages, when to get rid of stuff, you just tossed it in the nearest river. We have to use our hundreds of billions of dollars of public money to create a whole new way of dealing with this problem that's actually going to reduce the waste and get out the valuable nutrients and compost them properly, not mix it all together and spread toxic sewage sludge on our farmland.
An article recently in the National Geographic, interestingly enough, was about water, and it mentioned that there's lots of pharmaceuticals found in water these days, and one of the most common concentrations is an antidepressant, a variant of an antidepressant. So we're also taking on the pharmaceutical company, and in fact, the whole way that people deal with their life's problems, aren't we? I mean, it's a huge issue. touches every corner of life.
I don't know how much luck you'd have in convincing the pharmaceutical industry to try and curtail their production or promotion of their products.
Exactly.
But the point is what you make is the right one, that not just pharmaceuticals in people, but things like triclosan, which is in antibacterial soaps and deodorants and in toothpaste. In fact, when I learned about that in the course of this campaign, the first thing I did was go look at my soap on my sink and look at stuff, and it was all over the place. So the combination of what's in people's bodies or what they put on their bodies, body care products, certainly that's all going down, and that's a very important part of the mix, and minimizing it at every juncture is certainly something people have to look at.
It's kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
Well, it's overwhelming, but the bottom line here is everything's connected through the biosphere. And if we're going to solve all the problems associated with energy, with climate change, with waste, with food production, we have to integrate the solutions. And if you look at the sludge issue and the hundreds of billions of dollars we've spent simply exacerbating this problem without solving it, there are solutions, and we have to think big and look at how all our ecological crises are interconnected, and then we can move forward.
I mentioned early on in the show that I wanted to open this up to include the view of the global problem, and I spent some of my time in South Africa where they're just burying waste right now, and it's usually done at night and quiet, and medical waste, hazardous waste, everything is kind of getting dumped in huge illegal holes pretty much overnight. That is a very frightening notion, too, because here in the United States, we can potentially spend the money, although we're having a financial crisis at this point. We do have the money if we put our emphasis there, but in some of these developing worlds, they simply do not have it, and they're overwhelmed with their own trash.
Well, and not just their own trash, sewage sludge and hazardous material and industrial waste from the United States and other countries is shipped off out of sight, out of mind, to lesser developed and in impoverished places and put there. This is a global problem. But one thing we know is that sewage treatment plants and spending hundreds of billions of dollars in countries that don't have sewage treatment plants to build them isn't the solution. In some ways, I think that if the money were available, we could really see some countries that we think of as underdeveloped pioneering solutions when it comes to dealing with human waste and sewage systems by skipping ahead and building systems that reduce waste, that compost human manure, and that don't create the mountains of toxic sludge that we push onto our farmland.
Are there countries that are doing that at this point?
Well, there are experiments on very small scales with composting human manure in compost toilets, dry toilets, but none of this is really happening on a large scale like it needs to. And it could actually rather quickly, because we're talking about public expenditures. But one of the ironies here is that all the hundreds of billions that have been spent to create treatment plants has created a huge vested public and private interest. So if you look at the San Francisco situation, they've managed to pretty much stay out of the press, but San Francisco ships its sludge off to Merced, California, where a big corporation called Synagro, that's now mostly owned by the Carlyle Group, handles the sewage sludge. And handling the sewage sludge is a massive, profitable industry for lots of big companies. So you have a situation where tens of thousands of people employed in the municipal sewage sludge industry, and the giant corporations like Synagro that are making billions off of handling the toxic sewage sludge and composting it, quote-unquote, and moving it off to farmland, don't want to see change. Mm-hmm. So it's really going to be a need to awaken citizens and to get some of these environmental and green thinkers who've managed to ignore this for decades focused in on fundamentally solving the problem. And that's why this is the San Francisco fight is extremely important, but it's really just the beginning of a new national movement spearheaded by the Organic Consumers Association to deal properly with sewage.
John Mayer, what is Organic Consumers Association doing in the San Francisco Bay Area next?
You mentioned we, from the time we got involved to the March 4th action, was a very short schedule for these things for us to have done our action. And we built a very fine coalition in the course of that time, but given more time, it could have been considerably bigger, and we believe that it can expand. And so we're working to expand the coalition and at the same time to find these gardeners in San Francisco and to offer them support, even organize them if need be, to ask for the cleanup of their gardens. And then going forward, it's to, the specific issue that happened in San Francisco was again based on something called organic that was not, and in fact was sludge, but expanding beyond the organic realm to say that sewage sludge shouldn't be spread anywhere for any purpose,
okay.
Pretty much. Interestingly, you know, at the same time that it's used to be land applied on farmland or feed crops and stuff like that, it's also used for landfill cover. But interestingly, now you think about, we're talking about a dump. When it's used for landfill cover, which is they either use dirt or other things to cover it because they need vector control from bugs and pests and whatnot. When they use sewage sludge for landfill cover, they're restricted to 25%. It can't compose more than 25% of the landfill cover. So you figure if you have to restrict it to 25% in a dump, then it must not be very good stuff and certainly shouldn't be out on farmlands and should have nothing to do with food. So we want to expand it beyond simply, and this is like you said earlier, how does Organic Consumers Association come to be involved in this? Well, certainly organics are a central focus, but we have an interest in food being safe across the board, mm-hmm. and having sewage sludge be applied as it's being applied now is something that's not sustainable and we're going to seek to have stopped.
Before we go, I want to give both of you an opportunity to talk directly with our listeners about what you think we haven't covered here that they should know. John Starboard, do you want to start in Wisconsin?
Well, because you're out there in the Bay Area, I would just like to say to folks living in the Bay Area that this is an extremely important issue and you can really impact this fight nationally by helping us force Mayor Gavin Newsom to permanently halt the giveaway of toxic sewage sludge as quote-unquote organic biosolids compost to gardeners in the Bay Area, and also demand that the city help clean up these contaminated gardens. Right now, the city has put this program on temporary hold. They're hoping this just all blows over. I suspect that most of the gardeners who've been tricked into taking toxic sludge and putting it in their gardens don't even know about this issue yet. So we really need to elevate it, and by elevating it in the Bay Area, we're going to take a big step towards elevating it nationally and internationally.
John Mayer?
Yeah, and I would in part echo what John's saying, and from a personally for me, prior to coming onto this campaign, as I mentioned to you before we went started taping, like a lot of people, I thought I had a pretty sound understanding of environmental issues and in general, and certainly the role that sewage played in that, I knew that was a problem and a pretty big one. But I didn't understand how fundamentally important and how tremendously dangerous it has been, is, and will continue to be and grow if we don't address it. So for me, it was really life-changing to understand its importance, and certainly satisfactory to work on this effort. So I would say that, again, as John says, people in the Bay Area and elsewhere, the more that people are aware and speak out, the authorities and industries at issue, they are going to have to listen, as they already have in with the victories that we've won, even though the halt is temporary. So the more people can be aware of it and speak to their officials, and certainly any gardeners who've received this stuff that want help, come to us and we'll give you the help.
And that's organicconsumers.org. There's also a sense that I'm getting that there really is some kind of groundswell for change in this country at this point, that people are becoming more involved in their local communities, more involved with their neighbors. Do you get that, especially with something like you're doing in San Francisco?
I certainly found that in as much as the amount of gardens that there are in San Francisco, community and school gardens, and the fierce dedication that people have to them, and what they commit to them as community entities and healthy places to make sustainable on their own, sort of outside of the typical economy, has been a revelation. And I think that's been there. That's one segment. But I think that given the numerous failures of the government, and I think people's eyes are opening in a number of areas, and that their trust in the government it's never been that high, but it certainly is maybe at its lowest. And so I think it is analogous that if people are aware of the fact that their food is at risk and has been at risk and will continue to be, I think that they're ripe to raise their awareness and raise their involvement. So I think it presents a great opportunity, and the more we can advertise it, the better.
Thank you so much for being with us. It's John Mayer in San Francisco with the Organic Consumers Association, and John Stauber in Wisconsin, author of Toxic Sludge is Good for You. Go out and get it. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was John Mayer and John Stauber of Organic Consumers Association. Their website is organicconsumers.org. Again, donate to our work by visiting our website, raisingsandradio.org, and clicking on the PayPal button for a book premium, or simply to donate. All donations are tax deductible, and we are fiscally sponsored by Peace Development Fund. Email me with any comments at susan@raisingsandradio.org. Let's go out with my marvelous compost bin by Eclectic.
Compost anything in my marvelous compost bin. It sits behind the garden shed, always waiting to be fed. Plastic ones from B&Q can't do what my bin can do. Cabbages and cauliflowers are rendered in a matter of hours. The next door neighbor's bowling shoe took a day or maybe two. I can compost anything in my marvellous compost bin. Oh, he can compost anything in his marvellous compost bin. Grandad brought it home for me from a journey overseas. When Grandad died from drinking gin, we put him in my compost bin. Compost bin. Oh, he can compost anything in his marvelous compost bin. map, it's glass and oven cleaner, steering wheel from a Ford Cortina, Auntie Brenda's mobile phone are all converted into loam. Cause I can compost anything in my marvellous compost bin. I can compost anything in my voodoo compost bin. I can compost anything in my mysterious compost bin. I can compost anything in my marvellous compost bin.